Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, that song, I love that song. Man, blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Wash as white as snow. Hallelujah. I just love that I've been washed clean. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. And I don't mean because I took a shower this morning. Glory to God. But I did take a shower this morning. We had a witness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But anyways, praise the Lord. But I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. And you know, sometimes when you public speak, you're just going to say something. It just didn't come out quite the way that you wanted it to. Praise the Lord. Or maybe I did. Who knows with me? You never know. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. I believe you've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And if you haven't, stick around. We'll tell you by the end of the service, we'll tell you just how to get washed by the blood. Amen. It's a good cleansing. It sets us free, puts us on a new course. Glory to God. And I'm just so excited for everything that God has done in my life. Praise the Lord. He's taken me from being in the gutter, praise God, to being up high. Hallelujah. And when I mean up high, I don't mean because I'm some awesome preacher or anything like that, but God has brought me to a place in my life where I've learned how to receive His joy and live in joy and peace and experience all that God has for me. Amen. And God has a plan for me, praise the Lord, just as He's got a plan for you. And I believe that today we're going to get part of that plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. If you haven't known, praise the Lord. And I'm excited for the word today. Today's message is called "We Have Something Better." Hallelujah. We have something better. And I don't particularly know how I came up with the name of the message. The message came. Actually, I had a totally different message prepared. And this morning as I woke up, God put something else on my heart. So this is what we got. Amen. And then after I prepared it all, I was like, well, I got to put a title on it. And it just came to me. We have something better. So I believe that we got something better. We're going to get into that today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But first, I wanted to share something with you. Have you ever heard the word enthusiasm? Amen. The word enthusiasm. It's a really, really cool word. I've always liked it. You know, we like getting enthusiastic about enthusiasm. Amen. Praise the Lord. But enthusiasm is a good thing. But do you know the origins of this? I learned this week, and I just thought I need to bring it out because it actually flows with the service. It flows with what we're doing here. But it's just such an awesome thing. The origin of enthusiasm is around 1570 to 1580. So that's how long it's been around. It's a pretty old word, right? And its origin is actually it's out of Latin, but it's French. Praise the Lord. But enthusiasm literally meant, and this is when they did it, when they came out with the word, what or made up the word or whatever, it meant possession by a god. Hallelujah. The word "en," the part of the word "en" means cause to be in. So with "thous," and "thous" is a variant of "entheos," meaning God within, hallelujah, and ism, of course, means action, practice, state, or condition. So it's the action, practice, state, or condition of having God within, amen? And most, what they've used it a lot for, and actually it was kind of a derogatory term, but originally where they would use it to talk about people that were full of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because they would be possessed by God. They would have God within, and that's or a God, they would say. But we know that God isn't fake, that He's real, praise the Lord, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is real, and to have God on the inside is very real, and of course, it's very scriptural, praise the Lord. So I'm just enthusiastic about this, hallelujah. I'm so pumped about it. I'm like, man, I am enthused. I'm infused, and I'm enthused, hallelujah. I'm both with the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. But isn't that a cool thing? Isn't it awesome to know that we have a God who wasn't, you know, the whole point of Scripture is to lead us to the point where Jesus said that God, He was going to bring God and put Him on the inside of us. That's what Jesus did. He opened the doorway so God could come dwell on the inside of us. Man, hallelujah, that's pretty awesome. Creator of everything is on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. That's a pretty exciting thing to me. Amen. That means that we always have everything we need at our fingertips. We always have every direction we need. We have every idea that we need. Praise the Lord. You know, I was stressing out about a little decision, just a real little decision. It wasn't something huge in my life, but I don't even know why it was bothering me. And then the Lord reminded me of the things I've been preaching. I want you to know that God would do that. He reminded me of the things I've been preaching. And he was like, you know, basically reminding me, why don't you just seek God for the answer? And I was like, you know, God, that's a good idea. Praise the Lord. Glad I had that idea. Hallelujah. So I said, all right, yeah. I was like, Lord, give me the answer for that that thing. And wouldn't you know, I went to sleep. And you know, I've learned this, is that rest always equals, always puts us in the place of hearing from God. That's why if we're living in chaos, you can't hear from God. But when you're in rest, you can hear from God, and that's what I did. A lot of times God will speak to me just as I wake up or as I come out of sleep, and I love it. But he, you know, as I woke up, I had the answer that I was looking for, and it was easy. It wasn't hard. Nobody got hurt in the testing of this this theory, amen. That everybody was fine, and it worked out good, and it, you know what? It brought more peace to the situation, because it was a situation where it was kind of out of peace, you know what I mean? And so if you're looking for peace, seek God for the answer. Praise the Lord. Be enthused. Hallelujah. Because God is he's full of enthusiasm. Amen. Or we're full of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to start in dance. Amen. This actually, part of this message was birthed out of last night's message. It was out of revelation that I got as I preached last night's message. Praise the Lord. Although it's a different message. But so if you heard it, don't feel that you can just turn it off and get bored, because there's more to it. Amen. And plus, I need you to help me get there. Amen. We know that every service, there's three parts to every service, right? There's God's part, right? And God's done his part. Then there's man's part. Amen. I believe I've done my part. Hallelujah. And then there's your part. We have to connect to it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to be good receivers today. Receive what God has for us. So 2 Corinthians 1:20. Praise God. Hallelujah. Love this scripture. Love this scripture. Love this scripture. Amen. For all of those people that don't know if God will ever do anything for them, or if God ever wants them to be blessed, or if God wants them, listen, we don't preach a wrong-sided message that God is just, that life is just going to be roses and butterflies, and that you're going to skip around on something that you would skip around on with unicorns and, what's that? Flowery beds of ease. Yeah, absolutely. I had started talking before she finished, so yeah. That's why you got to listen all the way through the end. But we're not going to skip around necessarily just on flowery beds of ease. But one thing that God does promise us is that the promises are sure. Amen. And there's a lot of promises in this book, and I'm thankful for it. Praise the Lord. But right here it says, for the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want to read this in the Amplified Version. It says, for as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes, or their answer, in Christ, hallelujah. For this reason, we also utter, amen, so be it, to God through him, in his person, and by his agency, to the glory of God, hallelujah. So we see here that the Bible is telling us that all the promises in Christ are yes. The answer is yes. And so if you find a promise in the Bible, the answer in Christ is yes. The key is being in Christ. Hallelujah. But once you're in Christ, the promise is yes. You can have the answer. You don't have to seek God. Is this your will? You know, so many people, they do this with healing. They go to God, Lord, if it's your will, heal me. But we understand that it is God's will. How do we understand that? Because scripture is chock full of God telling us that healing was his will. Amen. That you know, we see in Matthew 8:17, the Bible says that that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let's turn there real quick. We'll go there. Praise the Lord. Matthew 8:17. Real quick, or I'll turn there. You can just stay where you're at. Matthew 8:17. Yeah, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He took them and he bore them. He already did that. It's not something that we have to look for in the sense of that we have to look for God's will in it. We know that God already said to do it. The answer is yes. It's already found in him. And so we don't have to ask him. No, sometimes we seek for the manifestation of it. Understand that. But first we have to understand that it's God's will. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the answer in him is yes. But I love what it says here, too. It says, for this reason, we also utter the amen. Now, so often, you know, we said this last night, that so often when people pray, we end the prayer always with the word amen. And so many people don't have any idea that there's actually a meaning to amen. It doesn't just mean the end of the prayer. It doesn't just mean the end, amen. But it means so be it. Praise the Lord. What it is, amen, is the ultimate faith statement. You know, if amen is saying that, yes, I believe what I prayed for, that I was going to receive it. I believe that the answer is yes. And so therefore I have what I prayed for, what I asked for, amen? That's an exciting thing to know. That's an exciting thing to have. God wants us. He didn't give us Jesus so we would go without. He gave us Jesus so we had an answer, so we had the yes to get into all the things that he has for us. He gave us Jesus so we had a surety to the promise, amen? Jesus is the surety to the promise. The Holy Spirit is the seal of that surety. It's the stamp of approval. The Holy Spirit on the inside of us is the proof that God was there, hallelujah, and that he said that you could have what he said you could have. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that stirs me and it excites me. When I thought about that, I'm like, oh, dear Jesus. The amen is not just something we say, but it is something important that we say. Amen. Now we say, and I used this last night, you know, in the New Testament, you hear us say a lot in Jesus' name. Amen. And what are we doing? We're placing the authority of Jesus on the amen. So we're saying something as a matter of fact, not by our authority, because what is your authority going to get you? My authority gets me nothing, amen? My authority in of myself, I don't have much authority, amen? I can go around and pretend that I do, but it's not gonna actually go very far. But the authority of Jesus will take us all the way into everything that God has for us. And God intends us to get there. God didn't give us, Romans 8:32 tells us that if he gave us Jesus, how would he not with him give us all things? God gives us all things he wants to give us. Jesus said, I've come to give him life and give him life more abundantly, and that's John 10:10, because God wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to be full of joy. He wants us the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5 and 23, it tells us what the fruits of the Spirit are. These are things that we should be acquainted with. God wants us to live in joy, peace, happiness. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to live in gentleness. He wants us to have all these things operating in our life all the time. But a lot of Christians are like, how can I get there? How can I live there if I don't, with all this stuff going around? Well, see, we find our answer in Christ. We find our, as we abide in him, as we abide in his word, as we learn his word and it gets in us and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. Praise the Lord. God can change things. He can do things that and we don't even know how to or how he does. With the Bible, actually, the Bible says we don't even know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit helps us pray. Amen. And so we learn how to follow the Holy Spirit. We learn how to follow the word and where it takes us. In that are all the promises. They find their yes. They find their amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But notice what it says. It says, for this reason, we also utter. We have to speak it. We have to say it. We know that faith, of course, if you've been in this church for any length of time, you understand that faith is only shown in what you say. Your faith in anything is shown in what you say. So you look at what you say and you know what you got faith in. Amen? What people have been, you know, a minister told me, Reverend Gurry said, if you want to know why you have what you have, look at what you've been saying. What you have, it will be a manifestation of the way that you speak, the way that you act, the way that you believe, amen? And so we understand that all of faith, you know, we know the most basic thing is salvation, the most basic part of that, the easiest thing that God gave us to obtain, amen, is salvation. We don't have to do any works for salvation except for one thing. Praise the Lord. You have to speak. You have to believe it, and you have to speak it. Romans 10:9 tells us that you have to believe what you say, and then you have to say it, amen? It's important to do both. And so we see, and there's so many times, of course, that Jesus talks about saying and that the Bible talks about speaking and all these things. We have to speak these things out. It's important that we start changing the things we say. Amen? I used this example last night, and though I'm not going to preach last night's message, but I wanted to bring it out for clarity, but I used this example last night. What's the first thing that you are tempted to do the minute something bad happens? The first thing that you're tempted to do is talk about it. First thing, and if you don't believe me, just look at the world. Even if you're not this way, look at the world. What happens as soon as something bad happens? Bop, 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 bop. We're going to talk about how bad it is. We're going to call everybody we can call and tell them how bad it is. Praise the Lord. If you've ever, oh, glory to God. If you, praise the Lord. Well, I'm not going to say it. I almost said it, but I'm not going to say it. But there's a lot of places you can go in town that if you go there, you can you can hear all kinds of bad stuff. Amen. You can go, if you listen to, well, the other day I was at, I was at Home Depot, and I walked into Home Depot, and I just, a guy greeted me as I walked in, and I said, you know, I just gave the standard, hey, how's it going kind of thing, and he's like, just getting by or something like that. And people have no idea what faith is. But Christians speak that way too. Christians all the time, they're going around, oh, how's it going? They're like, oh, you know, blah, 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 the devil this, the devil that, devil this, the devil that. How about how big your God is? How about God this and God that? How about what Jesus did for you? Jesus already provided the way. He already provided the path. He gave you the Holy Spirit to remind you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I know I'm talking fast today, but I'm a little bit enthused. Hallelujah. So you gotta forgive me. I'm just kind of running with it. Amen. But praise the Lord. I'm infused too. Glory to God. I'm just full of it today. Hallelujah. But I got a lot to say in a short time to say it. Hallelujah. But we'll get there. We're gonna catch something today. Amen. But you know, a lot of Christians, they go around that way. They just live in that same place as the world lives. We're called to be separate from the world, to be pulled out from the world. How do you get pulled out from the world? Well, the first place you do is by the promises that God gave you, which, by the way, are all yes and amen. They find their amen. They find their yes. They find their so be it in here. Praise the Lord. And so you got to walk in it. You got to choose to walk in it. You decide whether or not you want to walk in it. What's the difference between you and everybody else that didn't come today? You decided to come. You decided to get filled. You decided to come get your help. You decided to come hear from God. Not that I'm God, because I'm not. Praise the Lord. My wife likes me, but that doesn't mean that I'm God. Hallelujah. But she didn't like me that much. Amen. No, she does. She likes me a lot. We know that the ministering of the word, praise the Lord, because it's God's word. I'm not speaking my words. I'm speaking God's words. And so that's there to help you. It's there, and you knew that. So you connected to that. And because you connected to that, you're going to get filled today. Hallelujah. You're going to get something. You're going to get something that you can take out there and live by. Amen. You're going to get stuff that you can take out there and you can surround yourself with. And when things bad happen, now you can say, you know what? No, they are all yes and amen. If you got nothing else out of the service, you already got something good. You got 2 Corinthians 1:20, which said all the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. And so if you want to find out what they are, well, you just get in this word, this book here that we have, and you start reading it. You start thumbing through the pages, and you'll surely come across some stuff that you like. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm just going to tell you, if you go to the Old Testament and you find something about getting a rash, don't say that that's a promise of God, because it's not a promise of God. There are things like that in the Bible. Amen. But we're not going to talk about rashes. Praise the Lord. We're not going to talk about the botch. We're not going to talk about the itch. We're not going to talk about anything else that the Bible, that some of the people who disobeyed God received, because we are going to be people who receive from God, because we are believers in God. Amen. We are followers of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. God is good. Amen. But he wants us to get somewhere, but we've got to trust him. We've got to believe him. Amen. We've got to believe his word. We've got to stand on his word. I leaned over to my wife when we were just after we did that song, Standing on the Promises of God. I love that song. They didn't know that I was preaching this message about the promises of God, but we have something better, right? Praise the Lord. We have the promises of God. We're standing on the promises of God. What do? We teach people how to stand on the promises of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You decide whether or not you'll stand. You decide whether or not you'll fall. Nobody else decides that for you, because Jesus already gave you the ability to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Have you ever seen a stubborn animal? You know, a stubborn animal. I got a little Cassie, okay? And she's a sweetheart. I love that dog. She's my partner. She's my buddy. She goes with me everywhere. Praise the Lord. And I even taught her a trick. You know what I mean? I taught her the bang trick. We go bang, and she like rolls down, flops over on her back. But you know, sometimes she just don't feel like doing it. She's stubborn. She just doesn't do it. I sit there and say bang, and she just looks at me. She might do a little bit like that, but she won't do anything. And I know she knows what I'm saying. Amen. But she just decided. There's sometimes, like when it was really cold out, you know, when it was really cold out, we'd go to open the door to let her out, and she just stands there and looks at you. I mean, that little girl pushed it, man. I'm telling you, she pushed it to the absolute end before she just had to go out. And then when she went out, when it was that cold, she went out and she was right back in. Amen. But you know, she kind of has her own mind. She's a little bit stubborn. Well, Christians are like that so much. God's given them the promise. He's given them the direction. And they just stand there, blink, blink, just looking at God or looking at the preacher like I made this scripture up. Some people get mad at this kind of preaching, but I'm like, wait a minute here. It's written in the Bible. I didn't write it. I didn't come up. Listen, you could go buy a Bible in any bookstore. You could go buy you might not get, if you buy the wrong Bible, you know, if you like buy a Jehovah's Witness Bible or something like that, you might not get all this stuff that's in here, amen. Well, you do know that some people change their Bible, amen? But you know, this Bible, this is basically the same Bible that's been around for, well, pretty much as long as Bibles have been around, amen? I mean, the translation, you understand, is. Praise the Lord. Yes, we do. You know, they have things like the Dead Sea Scrolls that trace it back. Even they found the entire book of Isaiah, just about the entire book of Isaiah in a Dead Sea Scroll that predated Jesus being here. That means it's over 2,000 years old, and guess what? It was word for word accurate. Like any, there was a few really minor things that didn't make. So you tell me, I mean, if we got that, and there's other ones as well. Well, praise the Lord, glory to God. But we have the promises of God written right here. Amen. We have the word that tells us. I read the word, but you read the word and people get mad at the word. Why do you get mad at the word? The word says what it says. It says what it says to help us. Amen. You know, I always think about, you know, the Bible tells us that God chastens us as children. Amen. As we would chasten our children. Chastening children is a good thing. And we talked about that recently, that chastening isn't a bad thing. It doesn't mean that you get beat up on or anything like that. I'm not advocating that. But the chastening of God helps us. It corrects us to do what's right. Amen. And so people will hear the word sometimes and there's chastening in it. In other words, they know that they're doing something opposite of what the word says. And they don't like that the preacher's saying it right then. But here's the thing. If you just listen to it, it'll help you. Yeah. So if you're in that position, if it steps on your toes, it'll help you if you just listen. Yeah. Amen. That's why it does that. The word isn't meant to condemn you. I certainly don't want to condemn you. Amen. That's not my job. Praise the Lord. I can't imagine being a person that would want to. But there are people out there that want to do that. They're full of religious spirits. That's free, no charge, but it's for another time anyways. Glory to God. Well, let's turn with me to Proverbs. We'll go back to the Old Testament a little bit. Amen. God is good, amen. Anybody believe that in here? Praise the Lord. Well, if we believe God is good, then we got to believe his word is good. I heard of a preacher who decided that he was going to change what he believed about the word because he didn't like what it said. And he did. Guy had a church of like 6,000 people or something like that. Lost at least half of them instantly. Amen. I actually found out that I had some of his music on my phone because he was also a good singer and had this wonderful song. But guess what? Knowing that he's preaching garbage like that, I kicked him out my phone. I ain't going to have that garbage on there. Yeah, I went and deleted them. Delete, that easy. Boop, see ya. Why? Because I ain't going to listen to garbage. Praise the Lord. I don't care. I don't care if everything else he preaches right. I know that he was starting to preach that hell isn't real. He was starting to preach that, or that hell is a place here on the earth. I'm telling you what, the hell that Jesus described is not a place on this earth. It's a very real place, and we need to make sure that we get people saved from it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3:5, did you find it? Glory to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Praise God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. What that really means is to trust how God made things. Trust how God said to do it. Trust how God's system works. Amen. Trust how God set things up to operate. Trust him. When you get into the word and you see, okay, this works a certain way, then just trust him. See, this is such a, you know, trusting God isn't just believing, well, I believe that God exists and that God is good. That's not enough. That's not trusting God. Trusting God is believing that, if you trust me, praise the Lord, if you have true trust in me, you're going to trust me in every area, praise the Lord. You know, there's different people that you can trust so far, but you don't really trust them. You know what I mean? If you can only trust a person a little bit, that's why we have when we pick people to operate in different ways in the church. You know, they're generally the more that they do or the higher that they go, the more trusted they are. Praise the Lord. I don't put somebody I don't trust or someone I don't know because I don't trust them. I don't just put them in the children's ministry. Why? Because that's how dangerous things happen. Bad things happen. When, you know, as ushers, we don't just trust anybody to be ushers or people that are have been around a while. You know, we have a saying in the family churches that we generally speaking, if you've not been in a family church and been faithful in one, it takes 6 months before you're even allowed to serve, even cleaning the floors. Generally speaking. Now, sometimes we go outside of that because the Lord will lead us. But generally speaking, that's the way. But trust is something that is all-encompassing. And that's what this is talking about. Not just trust God with this one little area. I'm going to trust God with this, but I won't trust him with this. No, when you trust God, when you fully trust him with every area of your life. Amen? You might say, well, Pastor Jeff, I'm not there yet. That's okay. We'll get you there. Amen? We got to get to that place where we trust in the Lord. Trust with, but not just trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord with all our heart, our entire heart, our entire being, everything that is in us. Trust in the way that he made things. Trust in what his word says, the direction. You know, it's so funny, but as a pastor, there's times sometimes where there's a lot of decisions you have to make, and sometimes the decisions you are literally have to make them stepping out on a limb with God. In other words, you got to make a decision that, naturally speaking, makes no sense. Naturally speaking, maybe is even possible. Naturally speaking, it's not something you want to do. Naturally speaking, it could be something you're afraid of. Yeah, that's a job that a pastor gets. A pastor gets to trust God in a real, real way. And sometimes there's a temptation to withdraw a little bit from what you know. And even recently, in recent times, there was a temptation. Looking into myself, and I was saying, well, I don't necessarily think that I could do this, or that maybe I'm messing something up here, or something like that, you know, thinking it could be a failure on my part. And it was an area that I needed to just trust God in. And the thing is the Lord has taught me about this over and over, and even more recently. Sometimes you have to just trust God in an area where it doesn't make any sense to trust him. Amen? And that's when we started the Quarry work. That's exactly what that was. We went down and started a church in a town that we had no connection to. We knew nobody down there. Praise the Lord. We get down there, and it's like as we get down there, we find every time we go down there, we find more and more reasons why we shouldn't be there, naturally speaking. But here's the truth. I learned to trust God. And so we trust God to be down there. We trust God to go there and be part of what he has us to do. And as a result, there are things that happen. There are good things that are happening down there. Praise the Lord. It's not necessarily all the things that people want to happen, but it's good things that are happening. Amen? There's been opposition to it. Absolutely. Because anything that God has you do, there will be opposition to it. Anything that's worth anything. But this is where trusting in the Lord is really important. Sometimes in life you're going to have to lay down something that means everything to you, but you got to trust God to do it. You know, and the Lord will direct you. I'm not saying that, you know, people will tell you whatever. The Word will direct you. The Lord will direct you. But trusting in God with all our heart. But this is really important. It says, and lean not on your own understanding. See, this is where a lot of people are. They're leaning on what they understand or what they know. And this is why a lot of people couldn't do things by the Holy Ghost. Because they're not trusting in God. They haven't learned that place of believing God at his word and knowing that they can step out. Yeah, honestly, this is what tithing is. Tithing is learning to trust God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Praise the Lord. We learned to do it years ago. We learned to be givers years ago. These things, as these things are put into us, as we learn these, we learn. We got to a place where we're like, listen, we either got to go or get off the pot. Amen. You know what I'm saying? We got to make up our mind here. We can't be fence sitters forever. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I dumbed that down a lot, but you know, praise the Lord. I was raised with a different saying, but it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. But we understand that we got to trust in God. Amen. This is so important because if we learn this, and look what it says in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your paths. You acknowledge that God is speaking to you. Acknowledge that you trust God. You acknowledge that you will go in the way that he leads you. You acknowledge that his way is the right way, above your way. And what's it say? And he shall direct your paths. Notice that the "and he shall direct your paths" comes after the trust of the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And, praise the Lord, and acknowledging him in all your ways. Then he will direct your paths. It comes at the end of all that. God is not looking for people to have everything up front and just be able to step out and go, okay, God, now I can. No, he's calling people who can't to show his power. See, because if he called people, it's like me preaching. Hallelujah. If he called somebody who was a good minister here Well, then he couldn't show his power. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. I was so deathly afraid of speaking in public when I came out. I still have the fear tries to get on me. I'm still not comfortable in the pulpit. I am comfortable under the anointing. I'm comfortable when God gives me a message. But I'll tell you what, I know when God is hearing, when God isn't. How do I know? Because I know about what I'm saying. I know about what's coming out of my mouth. Hallelujah. Sometimes I want to run back and hide. And when I want to run back and hide, I'm checking the Lord. Okay, where did I miss it, God? Because I know you always show up. Hallelujah. But that's the truth. You know, I was deathly afraid. And when I say deathly afraid, I mean I was mortified of getting in front of people. I would get up there and shake. I couldn't read my Bible because it was going like this. I mean, it was like a strobe Bible. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? I remember the first time that I preached, I had my iPad in my hand because that's what I was preaching from. I had my iPad, and I didn't know how to do anything. And so I get up there, and, of course, I talk with my hands a little bit. You know, that's how us Italians do things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you don't know about that, well, just ask me after. I'll tell you. Yeah, praise the Lord. But talking with my hands and stuff, and let's see right there. Just undo my type. I better put that down and just leave it there. But I was reading my notes verbatim because that's all I had to be able to do. And as I was talking, you know, the thing kept flipping back and forth. And when it would flip back and forth, it would start over at the beginning. And I'd be like lost. And I didn't even know what I would do. And I struggled to get the message out. Hallelujah. We left Mayville. I've told you this before, but some of you ain't heard this before, so I'll tell you. We left Mayville the first Sunday. My wife and I, both in tears, both of us in tears, saying, do we really, Lord, do we really have to do this the rest of our lives? Do we have to do this one more Sunday? I served, and I served good. I was fine being the ninny and being beat up on. I could handle having people look down on me. That's fine, but now I got to get up and talk in front of people? See, it's the power of God. It's a sign and a wonder that I can stand before you even today. And that's what God, see, if I was Barack Obama and I just got up there and I said, well, you know, because he was a good talker, right? Praise the Lord. That's about all he was good at, but he was a good talker anyways, but he got up there and he was, you know, and everybody wants to listen to him. Everybody wants to hear what the man has to say, amen? But it's not so for me. You know, a lot of times I'd say something, oh, get off of it. We're going back to another way. He's not present anymore anyways. It's not like he's going to do anything. Praise God, hallelujah. But anyways, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But anyways, we if God just put somebody in here who could talk well, had oratory skills, hey, heck, had a high school diploma, hallelujah. If he put somebody up here who was able, somebody who could do it themselves, well, then it wouldn't be a sign of his ability. But see, and that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for what you can do. He's looking for what you will do. He's not looking for what you're able. He's looking for what you're willing to. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because it's the willing and the obedient that eat the good of the land. Now, you may be sitting there, and I know there's a lot of you out there that are really awesome. Praise the Lord. And you may be sitting there, but Pastor Jeff, I'm pretty awesome. I'm good at everything. Could God still use me? Yes, God can still use you. Even as awesome as you are, God can still use you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So if you're super awesome or if you stink super bad like me, praise the Lord, God can use you. If you're willing and you're obedient, amen? Glory to God, hallelujah. Well, I'm just glad that God is good, amen? But we got to trust him, and he will direct our paths, and that's the thing we need to trust. You step out, you're like, okay, I'm here, God, what do I do? And you're like, I don't know what to do. God, it doesn't seem like he'll direct your paths. Trust him, start moving forward. What direction do you go? You go in the direction you know to go. And God, if it's not the right direction, God will stop you if you stay connected to him, amen? And that's why we stay connected to God, amen? Praise the Lord. Acknowledge means, I love this, to know by experience, recognize, admit, and I love this when I got this big bold letters there, confess. In all your ways, confess him. God is good. That's the first confession. God has enabled me to do all that he's called me to do. God has a good plan for my life. So something rears up that doesn't look right. Nope, God has covered it all. God has protected me. He's kept me. He's going to continue to. Praise the Lord. It's speaking the word back to the problem. Confessing. It's uttering, so be it. It's saying amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All you got to do is say amen. So be it. You say, Lord, I know that you're good. I know that that your word says this, this, or this, whatever the situation is. You know what I'm saying? And then you trust him for it. And God will take you into it. Amen. Praise God, hallelujah. Ephesians 5:15. Let's go ahead and turn there. Glory to God, hallelujah. And I didn't say that to be political, by the way, I said it to be funny. There's a difference. But you know, some people, like, here's the thing, we are not politically correct in this church, just so you know. I am not politically correct, and I'm not going to be unless Jesus himself appears before me and tells me that that's what I have to do. And even then, he better give me scripture, because at that point, I'll just think that it's the devil manifesting himself as an angel of light. Hallelujah. You know, to be politically correct. It's not, you know, God likes humor too, praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:15. Hallelujah. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I'm going to pull these up in the Amplified just because I love, actually, these are some life scriptures for me, man. These are scriptures that I'll hold on to. These are scriptures that are just like, yes, because these tell me a lot. Look at this. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as sensible, wise, sensible, intelligent people. Look, it's unwise and witless people that don't live purposefully, worthily, and accurately. What is it to live accurately? It's to know the direction of God and follow it. See, we can do anything in life. Like, you know, when we weren't serving God, anything was open to us. We could live in any town. We could live in any house. We could drive any car. We could go to any church. We could do anything that we wanted to do. But see, when you follow God, you can't do that anymore. Oh, because God is he's full of so much bondage. No, because God will only lead you into those things which are helpful. See, not every house will bless you. Not every church will bless you. Not every car will bless you. Not every of anything will bless you. There are certain ones. Not every spouse will bless you. God has people for us. He has a group. He has a church for us. He has a pastor for us. Praise the Lord. I have a pastor. He has a pastor for me. I still keep that connection. Why? Because he has it for every single human. Everybody has a pastor. Nobody's without. Praise the Lord. And you don't just get to pick because you don't know. The Bible says we don't know. The Bible says here, it says to live purposefully, worthily, and accurately, indicating that we could live inaccurately. There's a lot of Christians that are living inaccurately. How do we know? Well, they look like ping pong balls in their life. Does your life resemble a ping pong ball? You are not living accurately. Ping pong balls aren't necessarily accurate. It's not what we think of as accuracy. Amen. You know, if you have a high powered rifle or something, you like a sniper rifle or something like that. You know, there's incredible detail put into designing those so they can shoot and they can go. So, you know, they think of everything from the shape of the bullet, the projectile that's coming out of it, to the amount of gunpowder and the kind of gunpowder, and all these things matter. They think about all those things. You know, a ping pong ball, what they do is they have a mold, they pour some plastic in a mold, and there you go, you got a ping pong ball. Yeah. Well, guess what? You're not going to be very accurate with a ping pong ball. You know what I mean? You'll throw it over there, and maybe you want it to stay over there, and it's going to bling, bing, 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 bing. It's going to be all over the place. You know how many Christians are ping pong balls? Yeah. There's a lot of Christians that are ping pong balls with churches. Boom, 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 boom. This church, that church. Get this teaching, that teaching. There are Christians that are ping pong balls with teachers. Teachers, what do I mean by that? Well, they'll listen to this minister, they'll listen to that minister, they'll listen to this one and that one and that one. And they're all saying different things. There's all kinds of stuff out there, and not all of it's accurate. There's all kinds of stuff out there that isn't what God has for you. But there's people that are all over the place. That's not what God intended his people to do. Look at what he said. Look carefully how you walk. You decide how you walk. You got to look at how you walk, and you got to decide whether or not you're going to do it accurately, purposefully, worthily. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because if you do it any other way, then you are unwise and witless. But it says, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Amen? Don't you love the scripture? Hallelujah. Verse 16 in the Amplified says, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. You take each opportunity that you have for everything. See, it's important that we don't just pilfer away our days. This is what a lot of the distractions of today do. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm one who's sucked into it too, and I have to watch it. I have to protect against it. But even things like, you know, smartphones and stuff like that, they can pull you away. Pretty soon, you've spent hours playing a game and you didn't even know what, you know what I mean? You weren't living purposefully and accurately. You weren't making the most of the time or the opportunity. Listen, God will bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to live in joy, ultimate joy and peace. That's where he desires that we live. But it can't do that as we're ping pong balls. We can't do that if we're not accurate. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you a Christian who floats through life hoping you bump into something good? Yeah, that phrase came to me this morning. Are you a Christian that floats through life hoping to bump into something good? Well, maybe I'll get blessed here. Maybe I'll get blessed here. Maybe if I try this, maybe if I try that. How about just seeking the Lord? He will answer you. He will show you if you submit yourself to him, if you acknowledge him in all your ways. A-A-A-L-L, all your ways, not A-A-L. That's not all. That's all. Praise the Lord. A-L-L, all your ways, acknowledge him. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Lord, how would you have me to do this? How you know what I mean? Obviously, if you're making breakfast, you don't have to be like, God, okay, how do you want me to make these eggs? Do I fry them or do I do them over easy? Do I do them over hard? Do you want me out hard boiled? God don't care about that. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Unless your cholesterol's high, then maybe he cares. I don't know. But God isn't looking at that. You know what I mean? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the things, the decisions we make. You know, even decisions to make, like what car to drive, when to drive it. Praise the Lord. I mean, there's trips that we go on. There's trips that we've canceled because we've known that we shouldn't. Amen. Or there's trips that we've gone on that we didn't know how we could. Amen. Following the Lord wherever he has us to go, and just being willing to do it. Amen. Whether it's a vacation, whether it's time together, it doesn't matter. Just whatever God has for us, amen. There was many times with this church, you know, there was projects. You know what I've learned? Let me share you. This is a little thing. I'm a design thinker. I think in terms of design. And so I think of in terms of how things are and how they need to look and stuff like that. I think about that all the time. It's just naturally kind of the way I'm wired. But sometimes I get to a place where something just isn't working out in my head. And I was, you know, one real simple was we have a headboard on our bed. Anybody have a headboard on their bed? Amen. We have a headboard for our bed, and I really wanted a cool headboard. And so I was designing. This was important to me. Amen. I know you might think, like, why is it important? Well, it was, just because it was. There's things that were important to you, right? Praise the Lord. Praise God. It was obviously important when you put on that shirt this morning. And I ain't looking at anybody. Hallelujah. That's a joke. Hallelujah. It was obvious when you combed your hair that way that it was important to you. Praise the Lord. Nobody else is blessed by that. Amen. No, I'm just, that's a joke. It's funny. Praise the Lord. Just to wake you up. Hallelujah. But at any rate, I was looking at this headboard. And I was like, it just wasn't working out. You know, I was coming up with all these ways of building it and all this stuff. It wasn't working out. And finally, one day, after I kind of put it down, all of a sudden, the Lord showed me something. And I knew how to do it. You say, well, he showed you a headboard? Yeah, because it was important to me. It mattered to me. And so he showed me how to do it. And it was. And now every time we look at it, like, this blesses me. I know it's a headboard. It's a little thing. But there's things like that in life. I know I just said the eggs don't matter, but headboards obviously do. But you understand what I'm saying, that there are things, if they're important to you, that God will help you with. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been, like, in the store and you're picking out something? Maybe it's something for your house or something like that. Do you know God will, he's led me that way and made me, led me into ways of getting the same thing for cheaper. These lights, or not these lights, the different lights. But, well, these lights might have been that way too, amen. These lights were like that. She said so. And would just stop arguing with her, would you? Praise the Lord. But God will show you. He will do. You don't need to freak out. If there's something that's taking your time, make the most of your time. Amen? What does that mean? If it's not working out, if you can't come to the answer for the details, if you can't figure out the details, then lay it aside and let God do it. You know what the awesome thing about God is that you never have to make a decision right now unless he tells you that you have to make it right now. And God almost never tells you that you have to make it right now. I have very, very few decisions have I ever had to make right on the moment. Got one thing that my pastor taught me and my pastor's pastor taught me, and I'm so thankful for, is that time is always on our side. How do we know? Well, we just rest in the Lord and let him work it out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Rest in the Lord and let him work it out. These kinds of Christians have not learned to trust God. Ping pong Christians. Are you a ping pong Christian? If you are, there's a way to get out of it, and that's by trusting God. Okay, so we're going to go back to the regular text, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise. Be wise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. See, this is where so many Christians fail. They miss the mark because they have no clue what the will of God is in something. The Bible says understand what it is. That means if the Bible tells us that we can understand what the will of God is, guess what? We know what the will of God is. People are like, how do you know the will of God? Because the Bible tells me I do. Or it tells me I can. You understand? But there's things that we have to do. We have to seek Him. We have to trust Him. We have to acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He will direct our paths. That's how we'll know what the will of the Lord is. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, what's interesting to me is you can be tossed up and down over something that you think you want. And I've done this. I've had something, maybe it was something really important to me that I desired, some material thing, some natural thing, whatever. I desired it, and I wanted it, and I was all bent about it until I got it, you know what I mean? And then I got it, and I realized, you know something, it didn't really fulfill me anyways. Yeah. It wasn't the thing anyways. But then God will bring me things that I didn't even know I want, and then all of a sudden it'll be like, man, it just blesses me. It blesses me like crazy, and it's like, You know, actually, praise God, hallelujah. There's so many things like that in life. I could just name one right after another. But if we endeavor to seek God, we'll know. And it goes on to say here, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, praise the Lord, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you what, Christians that have to be drunk with wine are not Christians who know the Holy Spirit very well. Because if you know the Holy Spirit, you won't want that garbage. Praise the Lord, because it doesn't edify you. It doesn't help you. But it will hinder you. It'll hinder you from hearing from God. It'll hinder you from going in the direction that He has you to go. And see, it's Satan's kind of opposite. It's his filling is things like drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of Christians today that they're out there for free parties. Listen, I'm not saying that. But the Bible does say that drunkenness, people who practice drunkenness, they will go to hell. You know that. Just saying, the Bible says that. Several places, amen. In fact, God ranks it right up there with homosexuality. He ranks it right up there with adultery. He ranks it right up there. All these different things, He ranks drunkenness up there with. If you don't believe me, read Galatians 5, amen. But you know that, and I'm not saying that to come down on people. I'm saying that because we have to understand that there is, you know, and of course, if you're somebody who deals or struggles with a problem with something like that, you know, God is gracious, go to Him, but it needs to get taken care of. And if you need help, then talk to us. We'll help you, amen? Because we've seen addictions broke in this church, amen? How many addictions have we seen in this church? I can tell you all the time how, you know, there's things that have been broken off people, and they haven't even asked for it, but it's been broken off from, amen? Praise the Lord. Not because we've been preaching against it, but because God will work it in and out of people, amen? That's how He got me free. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you don't need these. When you're full of God, you don't need external things. You don't need all those. But don't let that scare you in the sense to think that the life with God means that you have to just, that you will never have anything you enjoy. I have never had more, naturally speaking, except in the times where I've been serving God the most. Because God loves us that much. How many parents do we have in here? Or how many people even thought about being a parent? Now, if you think about being a parent, or if you are a parent, do you think about how much you can remove from your kids? Well, the Bible calls our love compared to God's evil. And so if our love is compared to God's love is evil, praise the Lord, then if we would do good things, and the Bible even says, if you being evil would do good things for your children, how much more will your Father in heaven? God wants to bless you. He wants you to have a nice house. He wants you to go on a nice vacation. This is something that keeps coming up to me in different services, and I'm just going to tell you something. If you're somebody who's either never been on a vacation or you just desire a vacation a lot, you need to start believing God for it. I said you need to start believing God for it because God wants you to do. Jesus took His disciples and sent them on vacation. It looked a little bit different, but you understand. God's not opposed to rest. You need to have rest. Amen? Now, if your life is rest, well, that's another issue. If your life is a vacation, God hasn't called you to that either. There's balance in all things. Amen? But God wants you to have a nice house. He's not opposed to that. He is not opposed to people having nice things. Praise the Lord. He is opposed to his people being covetous. He doesn't want you to sit around thinking about what you can get all the time. If that's what you do, listen, if what you sit around, people think that's just being wealthy. They think that's just rich people. Oh, that must mean like Donald Trump kind of rich people, Bill Gates kind of rich people. No, that includes poor people that sit around trying to figure out how they're going to make money all the time. That's being covetous. That's just as covetous as a rich person sitting there saying, I'm going to hoard all my money. Why? Because all you're thinking about is money. All you're thinking about is how you can get more. God said to trust him and he'd take care of your needs. See, when you don't trust God, when you don't put it in God's hands, when you don't trust God, he isn't taking care of your needs. You are. There's a lot of people that work themselves and make themselves rich, and it wasn't the blessing of the Lord. But conversely, there's a lot of people that stay poor, and it isn't because God doesn't want to give it to them. It's because they won't trust him. It works on both sides of it. God wants us to be fully supplied. The Bible says this. I could show scripture after scripture after scripture. And then you would just be arguing God at that point. And so I wouldn't even have a conversation much, much longer with you. But God, I could show you scripture after scripture how God wanted us fully supplied. But even in those times, you understand there are times where we will go through where it doesn't feel like we're fully supplied. But the Bible says that we can be content in those times. That in those times that we can be okay knowing that it'll come. Meaning it will come. If it won't ever come, you wouldn't be content, right? Well, praise the Lord. If there was never a chance at winning the lottery, nobody would ever play. But guess what? There's really no chance. There really isn't. When you look at the staggering numbers, I mean, it's almost impossible that it would even happen. And I actually know somebody that won the lottery. Praise the Lord, but it didn't bless them any. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that's free, no charge. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." You will show me the path of life. He didn't say the path of afterlife. Does it say afterlife here? No. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Can you have the presence of God here on earth? I would say so. If God sent his Holy Spirit, Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. But he will come and he will abide with you for a few days. And then just with the apostles, the first group of apostles and disciples that were here, and then as soon as the church has gotten 2,000 years old, I ain't going to have nothing to do with it anymore. That's not what Scripture says. He will abide with you forever. Praise the Lord. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and for everyone that comes after you. Acts tells us that. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit has come to live on the inside of us. That is God on the earth living on the inside of each one of you and I if we have accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. That's exciting. Praise the Lord. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. So the path of life and the fullness of joy resides on the inside of me right now. Yeah, that would actually have to make me think of things a little bit differently if I actually trusted that. But see, this is what trusting God is knowing this. Trusting God is believing that his word is true. And if you trust God, if you say that God is good, that means you trust God. And if you've said that, then you automatically have to believe the scripture. I don't care if you don't or not, you have to. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't trust God, you're a liar. You are a liar if you don't believe what the word says. You are a liar if this is not true. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God he desires that we live in the fullness of joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy. Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. This is the same thing here. See, Scripture doesn't contradict itself. It just keeps backing itself up. Yeah. God wants us to live happy. Yeah. Happy, happy, happy. Yeah. He wants you happy. Listen, I'm telling you, I was like manic depressive. I walked around wanting to kill myself all the time. That's the way I lived. I did. I lived that way. I lived like with no hope. There was no hope. That's the way I walked around. God delivered me from all that. I walk around happy, happy, happy. Praise the Lord, I'm joy. I'm not saying I don't have moments. Listen, I'm not saying I don't have moments. But the moments are defeated in the fact that God has put something inside of me that can't be taken away from me. It can't be taken away. Nobody can steal it. I can give it up. I can say I reject it. I say I want nothing to do with it. But it can't be taken from me. No man can take it from me. No devil in hell can take it from me. So it can't be taken. In other words, your joy can't be taken. It can't be taken. I don't think you heard me. Your joy cannot be taken. Nobody can take your joy from you. So if you let someone take it, you are giving it to them. They didn't just take it. They didn't steal it. You have given it over to them. The Bible has given us every armor, every ability to fight that devil and to fight everything that he throws at us. And so if he gets anything from us, it's because we lay down and give it to him. Not because God desires us not to have it, because we don't stand on the promises of God, because we don't stand up and say, I'm not letting you have it, devil. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, we have to learn how to live in this. Some of us are a little bit further along in life, so we have to make up for lost time. We still are learning how to live in this. I'm still learning how to live in this perfectly. That's what life is. But as we learn it and we walk in it, then we can teach it and give it to others. That's what we're called to do. But what are Christians giving to others? Oh, and the sweet by and by. One fine day when Jesus finally comes back, maybe life will be good. When I get over into glory land, then things will be okay. That's not what the Bible preaches. That's not what the Bible says. That's what people who don't know the word say. That's what people who don't trust God say. God wants us blessed. God wants us full. Praise the Lord. Ephesians, we're going to go back to Ephesians. Go to chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Verse 17. Praise God. Hallelujah. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. What are Gentiles? Gentiles are basically the people that weren't God's people. They were everybody who wasn't a Jew, essentially, is what it is. That's what, were you born Jewish? No, I wasn't either. Apparently, according to DNA, I might have that much in me. That much ain't much, but not. I'm still a Gentile, amen? Praise the Lord. Everybody's got that much of something in them, right? Praise the Lord. But this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Friends, if you look at a majority of the Christian church today, they walk just like the world walks. They do the same thing the world does. They follow the paths of the world. They acknowledge the things of the world. They acknowledge what the world is doing. They don't think about the things of God. They don't think about where God is trying to take them. They don't understand that there is something more. Coming to church isn't just, oh, I came to church and get my brownie point today. Coming to church is to be part of something. We are called to be part of something. You can't be part of something neglecting it. You can't be part of something if you push it away. You can't be partakers of what God has if you reject him constantly in your life. You can't be partakers of what Jesus did, constantly pushing him away. This is where, and I'm not saying this because I'm down on all Christian churches or anything like that, but so much of Christianity has gone this way, where it's more about just tickling the flesh. Well, we got to have light shows and laser shows and smoke things, and we have to have the right kind of music, and we have to have all this stuff that lines up with our flesh just to make us happy. But that's not what God said. That's the futility of your mind. Your emotions are in that place in your mind where that's the exciting part. If anybody can come off the street and get excited about the music that's being played, that doesn't mean it's spiritual. A lot of people are getting excited about music, calling it spiritual, and saying it has nothing to do with the spirit. How do we know? Because it doesn't lead people to God. It isn't drawing the things of the spirit in. They aren't spiritual songs at all. I listen to Christian radio. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I listen. I was down in Corey working this last week. I was down there remodeling some stuff down there, and I decided to put on a Christian Pandora station. And I'm just telling you, man, the station, it was just one song right after another, and it was just about how bad things are and how rough things are, and if I'm such a weak person, I'm so broken down, and if God would just come in, and if he even cared to, he would just come in and lift me up and all this kind of garbage. And I'm like, hey, do you ever see the Apostle Paul talking that way? Do you ever see Peter talking that way? Yeah, you see him talk that way. You see Peter talk that way. You see him get rebuked for the stuff. You see others talking that way, and they get rebuked for it. Jesus didn't put up with garbage like that. He said, we're gonna stand strong. You got to stand strong. See, this is the thing about the Bible that people don't realize, is this is not a take it or leave it kind of thing. This is like you either live by it or you don't. And you will have what it says or you won't. It's your choice. It's not God's choice. He said, here it is. Here's all my truth. Here's everything you need to know. You know that this is not a complete work of human history or the history of the earth. this book is not intended to be, it is a historical book, but it's not intended to be a complete coverage of everything that's here on earth. Some people look at it that way and they're looking at it wrong. This is a book that leads us from the place of sin to the place of Him. That's what this book does. This book tells us how God brought us back into His graces and what people did to get out of His graces. That's what this book is full of. It is not full of, every little thing that happened here on earth. Oh, does the Bible say anything about dinosaurs? It doesn't need to. Why? Because what does dinosaurs have to do with you living? It doesn't have a stinking thing with you living. When you go out there, if you get in a car accident, or if your kid gets sick, or the first thing you think about, man, how big was that how big was the hippopotamus? Hallelujah. Tyrannosaurus Rex. I can say it. Praise the Lord. I told you, I got. See, that's what happens when you drop out of high school, is you lose that stuff. But you don't think about that. You don't think about those little arms. You don't care about that stuff. You don't care about how long his tail and why things are disproportionate. It doesn't matter to you. You don't care whether he had feathers or not. It doesn't matter, does it? Praise. It's interesting. Sure, when you go to a science museum, praise the Lord, you want to know about that kind of stuff. I want to know about that stuff. But when things are happening in life, when I can't pay my mortgage, I sure as heck don't care how long the neck of a brontosaurus was. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care how many vertebrae were in it. I don't care if he could live on this earth or not. None of that stuff matters to me. See, that what the Bible does is it teaches us how to live in Christ, how to live in God, and what God did. Excuse me while I speak in tongues here for a minute. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it's leading us how to follow God, how to follow what he really had for us. He told us, and he tells us how Adam lost it. Why does he tell us how people lost it? So you don't lose it. He doesn't want you to lose it. But Christians are losing it all the time because they're ping pongs. Ping, ping, pong, ping. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. 4:17. We're fixing to close here. People are like, how long is this guy going to go on for? Hallelujah. Some people have rubber sheets. I need rubber pages. I'm ping-ponging up here, and my Bible is getting... Glory. Anybody want to hold it? That's so gross, but it's the truth. Hallelujah. This I say then, say therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. He's saying this to Christians. Don't have a life alienated from God. How does a Christian have a life alienated from God? By walking the way the world walks. When you do what the world does, you'll get what the world has. Plain and simple. When you do what God says, when you do what God does, you'll have what he has. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because of the blindness of their heart. No, listen to this. I got skipped over a part. Being alienated from the life of God because of two things, right? The ignorance that is in them. You know what ignorance is? Ignorance is just choosing not to look at it, choosing not to go that way. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Because they choose to be blind. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness. They have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You put on the new man. Listen, if you want new things, like if you lived an old life and you got to the point where you're like, okay, I need Jesus. Now you're called to put on the new man. You put down the old things, you put on the new things. That doesn't, listen, it doesn't mean you have to dye your hair differently now. It doesn't mean that you can't dye your hair. It doesn't mean that you can't wear earrings or that you have to wear big ones. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that you put down the former conduct, the way that you lived, the former lusts, the former things that ruled you in your direction. Amen? Praise the Lord. I am very fortunate to be an idiot. No, I mean naturally speaking. Naturally speaking, I made a lot of bad, idiotic decisions in my life. I'm not saying this as a kick to myself. Just listen to me. Follow this. I'm very fortunate that I made a lot of bad decisions. because it wasn't hard for me to say, you know what, God, my way don't work. So I don't want to go back to it. Because guess what? Without Christ, we're all idiots. We're all there. All of us. We all make bad decisions. We all make decisions that we shouldn't. You understand what I'm saying? I'm very fortunate to be well aware of that, because now I don't go back to that stuff, because I knew it always ended in tragedy. I know it always ended in sorrow. I have that memory. It doesn't haunt me. It doesn't keep me down. It doesn't keep me from going forward. Actually, it thrusts me forward. It thrusts me into the plan of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. 24, where are we at? 24, I think that's where we're ending there. Praise God. One last scripture. We're going to end here, right? Amen? We're going to turn to it because I got 3 minutes. And I'm going to make the most of the time. Praise the Lord. 1 John 1, verse 7. Praise the Lord. Look what it says here. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Listen, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light, we choose whether or not we're going to walk in the light. Amen? You know, the title of this message is We Have Something Better. We have something better than the world has. We have something more that is more wonderful than the world has. And it's good things. It's things that bless us. In fact, it's things, if we actually show the world what Christ really has for them, they'll desire it too. Most of them will anyways. And so this is what we need to be. We need to be reflections of what God has done on the inside of us. We need to be reflections of who God has made us to be. As Christians, as believers in Christ, as people who congregate together, we come together, we're doing this, we might as well do it right. We might as well do it blessed. We might as well please him while we're doing it. Amen?